This is CliffCentral.com. The Unview. The Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous on CliffCentral.com.
Good morning to you. A whole new reshuffle in our cabinet we've seen this week. It is good to be with you here on The Unview with myself, Alan Ford, and the only one, Nathan Rowe, where we're the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. We still haven't worked out who's thin, who's rich, and who's... Well, we know we're fabulous. I know I'm fabulous. You've got to own your shit.
I'm slightly less fabulous, but I think that's just...
I think it's just the hetero in me. Sorry about the loss of your gran this week. Of course, sad for your family.
And Thank you kindly.
I mean that with a lot of love.
Yeah.
But what a great life. What a great dedication.
Thank you.
You put to her. And
That's an interesting thing, hey. It makes you reevaluate your whole life. Like, what am I actually doing? Like, sure, the 72 hours I've put into PlayStation gaming is not actually benefiting the world. You know, that kind of thing. You start really looking at your priorities. You know, it's quite a beautiful thing, actually.
Are we stopping PlayStation gaming? I've got to ask it. I mean,
well, I need to get to level 82.
Granny died, no more PlayStation.
I'm just saying. Like, your priorities definitely shift to like what's important, which is great. I mean, they call it the great level, and I think it's actually the great level as well for the people left behind, because it kind of puts everything back into perspective for everyone.
And again, to your family, my deepest sympathy.
Thank you kindly.
Kisses from coast to coast to everybody around town and around the country and around the world.
Yes.
I must tell you, I just got back from Cape Town. Great time there.
It rained.
It's been quite rainy.
This magical thing happened. The water fell from the sky in Cape Town.
Well, my partner and his mother and I decided to do some Cape Town explorations. Cape Point and Table Mountain and Signal Hill. And I'm going to tell you, we planned this trip. So the nicest thing is I'm going to plan a trip every week to try to get the dams full again, because it just rained and rained.
Nice.
And this morning was Table Mountain, but it's not raining.
Maybe no one's washed their car in Cape Town for a while, because I know that's my secret. Yeah. If you wash your car, then it rains. You know, that's the trick.
What's going on in the background?
This is your Lebanese theme music.
Oh. The restaurant's doing really well.
I'm glad to hear.
You must see, it's a Rez Cafe in Morningside. We opened a restaurant.
Is there someone at the restaurant that plays the zither?
No, man, it's not the... It's the drums. Is it the zither? I don't know. That shame. You know, these things happen in life.
No one's culture, eh?
Lebanese is wonderful. It's excellent. It's superb. The food is brilliant. And, of course, if there's a worst-case scenario, we'll just kill you. Things happen.
Sure.
It's just... Alan Committee joins us shortly on the show. He, I'm sure, has come across a lot of Lebanese in his lifetime. Yeah, the whole five of them. And then he ran away and didn't want to know them again. Alan Committee, Laughing Matters opened this week at Monte Casino. We're going to chat about this phenomenal show. We've got Darren Meltz and Brad Narico in studio.
Novico.
Do I look like I'm a Russian? I'm Lebanese.
Does he look like he's a Russian?
I don't know. We'll look it up later. And their show is called The Clearing.
Ah.
Okay, we're going to talk to them as well.
Interesting title, actually. It makes you wonder what it's about.
Yeah. It sounds very much like The Witcher or The Woods.
No, yeah. It could be a little clearing in the woods where, like, you know, lovers go. It could be a combine harvester that clears the way for the psychopathic killer.
All of the above. Okay, we'll chat to the boys in a moment. And then tonight is the big opening, and it's the Broadway. It's the Broadway company. It's not the small version of Evita. Evita opens at Monte Casino. Gee, this is a great week of theatre. Seriously, one of the best comedians.
We should speak to someone from Evita.
We are going to in a moment. Ooh. We're going to chat to Jonathan Rocksmith.
Oh, I love him.
Of course, the one only Jonathan. I mean, he's the superstar of notes. I mean, he's like the Meryl Streep of South Africa. It's just, and the winner is just Jonathan. And we'll chat to Jonathan in just a second.
I hear they get the trophies just, you know, pre-done, like the year before.
But he is brilliant.
Yeah, okay. Amazing.
Anyway, let's get to that right now, because on the line, welcome Jonathan Rocksmith, who plays Shay based on the character, or it's based on the character's based on Che Guevara to some extent. I heard the woman, the people are going mad because you've got long hair and a beard, unlike when you played Sweeney Todd with no hair and
and a so, beard.
And a beard. But now you've got long, beautiful hair, and Jonathan, you're rocking and you're rolling. Talk to us, and welcome to the show. You open tonight with Evita.
We do. Sorry, I'm still trying not to laugh at the Meryl Streep. That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
But you are. Yeah, but you are. You like the Meryl Streep.
Long hair. With me, when I went bald, I got letters of outrage. When I grew the long hair and the beard, I got letters of outrage. So I can't seem to win. And people, the best quote so far was, "We don't care if it's for a show. You look terrible." So that's the best so far. So I'll leave it to you to tell me.
So, I mean, Jonathan, again, what an incredible year. Your own production, your own show that you did was sold out. That's a few thousand people every night. Then you did, at the start of the year, you were doing Joseph. And then you had West Side Story and now Evita. What
and
are you?
The Mystery of Irma Vett. Don't forget.
Oh
that.
Yes, of course, of course, and the Mystery of Irma Vett. This is all, and we're only in October. We haven't got to the end of the year. That's four musicals.
No, it's been crazy.
And his own one man stage show, which by the way was sold out. So, what a crazy year! And it's good to be working and busy.
Yeah, and not just working and busy with some of the best, because the team that they've got together for us. Are actually the people who were in the room when they first did it in 1978. So yesterday we all had a choreography call with Larry Fuller, who was nominated for a Tony for this choreography, you know, on Broadway. And we're working with the guy. We're not working with the third assistant down the list. We're working with the guy. You know, the team who came from America, Dan Kuttner, is Hal Prince's right-hand man. You don't get more first-hand than that. Kim Jordan has been in Evita for 30 years. Officially, she's known as the person who knows the most about staging Evita in the world. So we have her. So we have Guy Simpson, who is a fixture at the Sydney Opera House, teaching us the score. It's really, of all the teams we've had over the years, this is the most first-hand that we've ever had. And it's amazing, and you can see it in the product, in the show, and the morale in the company is just so high and proud to be in it. So I can't wait to open tonight.
Well, again, an extraordinary show, and I mean, we've seen this on a smaller scale in the past, but now we're seeing with the full, well, it's a Broadway company to some extent, the whole Broadway show. You got the beard, you got the long hair, you play Che Guevara. It's an interesting role because it's been played by a number of people and well-known stars throughout the years. Antonio Banderas played it in the movie with Madonna. But I'm asking you, where do you draw your inspiration?
Well, as you said, our Che is based on Che Guevara in terms of the revolutionary idea. And to have somebody explain to you what's going on in the show, that, you know, you must be able to understand that they know what they're talking about. But to take inspiration from Che Guevara, it does make sense when you're there. It's a bit of a weird idea on paper, but when you watch the show, you go, oh, I understand how this works. I went straight back to who Che Guevara was, and the more I found out who he was, the more I understood why he was in the show. So I've just basically, I read a few things online, and then I just went back to the script, and luckily with Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Wright, what they give you in the script is enough, and you go, got it. I know who this person is. I know why he's there and how he's going to tell the story. And it's great fun because I've been encouraged to have fun with the audience as the narrator of Evita. So, you know, he's a lot funnier than people expect him to be. He's a lot quirkier. But then there's also the anger and the revolution and the wanting for the country to be free and all of that. But it's very layered, especially being a South African in 2017, going through what we're going through politically to play this role right now.
Sure. I must tell you, again, you do quite a lot of wonderful songs, but I mean, you do Oh What a Circus, Oh What a Show. And what is your favorite song in the musical?
My favorite song to seen is probably High Flying Adored. Because after everything, it's been manic, and then this little soft little song comes up and gives you a chance to breathe. So that's great fun. My favorite number in the show is probably Buenos Aires, when Ava goes to the city for the first time, largely in part due to the vocal powerhouse that we have playing Ava Perón, called Emma Kingston, who was hand-selected by Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice to play the role here. It's quite amazing because she is, you know, she's been on the West End, she's played Eponine in London, she's been in Priscilla, she's been in Fiddler on the Roof, so she really is a seasoned pro. But I guarantee you tonight, when she sings that number, you're going to sit there and go, oh my God, it's that good. And the best thing about her, I have to say, is she's a good singer. Every Ava should be a good singer, but she can act. And that's where I'm so pleased, because you realize Evita is playing with music as well.
Well, the whole storyline is done in music. But we're going to have her on next week on the show. Jonathan, thank you for joining us. Before you leave, I thought we make everybody do it. Do you want to give us a couple of lines from one of the songs that you sing in the show?
I don't, and I'll tell you why.
I don't.
Without the beret, my music doesn't make sense.
Ah, I love you, Jonathan, because you know what? He's the only person that's got away with it. I mean, seriously, we've made Engelbert Humperdinck, we made him do it, okay? We've made everybody do it. Jonathan gets away with it.
I'm pretty sure you can get Jonathan to sing one of his original songs, though, because then he doesn't need a beret. As far as I know, his original show, he did not have a beret.
And happily, I don't write my own songs.
You know what, John? I'll get you into studio. I'll make you sing, baby. That's what we'll do. Jonathan Rocksmith, thank you for joining us. We'll see you
tonight. We'll see you later.
We are, yes, 100%. We're coming to join you later. Jonathan Rocksmith, who plays Shay in the production. And of course, a dedication to Evita. What have we got there? Oh, I love the song. Oh.
Oh, what a circus. Oh, what a show. Argentina has gone to town over the death of an actress called Eva Perón. We've all gone crazy, mourning all day and mourning all night, falling over ourselves to get all of the misery right. Oh, what an exit, that's how to go.
That's Antonio Banderas, by the way.
Ringing your curtain down, demand to be buried like Eva Perón. It's quite a sunset.
Well, this is The Unview. The Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous. And, of course, the magic of entertainment is what the show is all about. I'm playing on your board.
Yes. Sorry, please stop touching my buttons.
I like touching your buttons. As I said, a show... A great week of opening this week, of different shows opening. The Clearing opens tonight. And we've got the guys in studio. Guys, thank you for joining us. Darren Meltz and Brad
Novico.
Novico. Yes. I said Novico. I made it a bit interesting.
Don't worry, you're not the only one.
Brad Novico. Okay. Welcome to the show, guys. The Clearing. What is it about?
It's basically a family story. So there's a family unit which is extremely closely entied. It's mother as well as the two sons. Brad and I play the two brothers, and we're holding a very, very deep, dark secret which happened 18 years ago, and that is what makes our bond so tight. But it's something that we don't want our mother to know because it'll hurt her beyond words.
What was the secret? Oh, do we have to wait to watch it?
Yeah, no, otherwise we're giving it all away.
Okay, really?
Yeah. The secret to finding out the secret is coming to watch the show.
Okay. We'll discuss our guest joining us also in a moment is Alan Committee. We want to know what the secret of Laughing Matters is, but we'll chat to Alan. He's coming.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm just sitting. No, nothing. I don't even have a mic on. For heaven's sakes, why am I even at this table if I don't have a mic on?
Because we
Oh, you're chatting to the clearing boys. All
the clearing, you're next.
All right, I'm waiting for it.
We're going to let it clear and then we're going to deal with
it. I'm here quietly. My secret is very, very big. I can't share it. I'm going to share it with you later.
Love that promo. Just hold it there. Alan, I'm cutting you off.
All right.
Okay. So, guys, it opens at the Joburg Theatre. Mm-hmm. It's a small space. Tell us a bit about the set, a bit about the cast, and it's a small production. But tell us about how it works and what it's about.
Well, it's a small space, but it's very intimate. It's nice. The audience feel, I think they're going to feel like they're really immersed in the show. There's a lot of it's based in sort of the wood type of environment. So I think the Blair Witch Project kind of
yes,
comes to mind.
I felt that when I saw your poster.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
I was a bit scared.
It's very dark, and we've got real fire. So we're brying marshmallows.
So people aren't even allowed to smoke in theatres anymore, but you guys got a real fire.
Special permission.
Dangerous. I've got to just tell you about your particular poster and the Blair Witch Project. Is that I battled to walk and drive through Kirsten Bosch and Bishop's Court because it looks witchy. So that's why it freaked me out. So I had to interview about it because I'm not going to see it. But I'm freaked out by any place that's got too many high trees because of that particular production or that movie. But your production is set in that type of
In the woods. It's
dark. Murder? Is it dark? Is it the threat?
There's dark moments. There's tender moments. There's some real family moments. So the clearing
the
is
dark and tender moments.
Yes, it's
when I stab you and layers. I grab your heart out. It's dark and then it becomes a tender.
A dark comedy. I'm thinking 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, the clearing is ever present in these people's lives. So even when we have scenes that are set in our mother's kitchen or in the bedroom that the two boys shared, there's elements of the clearing there. So we've got two logs on stage, which are kind of modular, so they move around. And with the kitchen, those two will stack and become the kitchen island. So there's always elements of this clearing. So it's the physical clearing as well as mentally and emotionally dealing with problems and issues and finding your own clearing.
The story of two brothers bound together by a terrible secret that they've been hiding for 18 years. The Ellis family is in many ways a typical family, but the love they share is intense, all-consuming, even... I mean, it's a story that
it sounds creepy. I mean, a family that loves each other? What witchery is this?
Then, when a handsome stranger inserts himself... into
the way you say that, it sounds
into this tight knit circle. Mother and sons must discover if they have the courage to shatter the bond.
I'm glad you said tight knit circle there.
That opens tonight. This sounds fascinating. What do you guys do? I mean, have you been actors for a long period of time? What do you do? Because I haven't seen you around that much. I mean, so what else do you guys do? I know that you lecture.
Yes, I teach conceptual writing at Vega School, so that's what's paying the bills at the moment.
Okay,
but the passion is for acting, so hopefully just going to go from strength to strength, and we'll see a lot more of the two of us around. Hopefully,
good. And Brad,
I've just been playing PlayStation.
Hey, you need a death in the family, my friend.
That is horrific. that is so bad. I'm commiserating with you.
It's not like I was. It's not like I was cursing him with a.
Are you seriously just wasting your life?
Well, I mean, it depends what game you play. You know?
Yeah, so what are you saying?
Like Grand Theft Auto, that's a
that's a waste.
That can easily take a month out of your life.
It's training to become a criminal.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Alan in a moment. Alan, do you do that?
I don't play PlayStation, no. But what I am doing, which is very interesting, is that I share the logs of the clearing in my set as well, and they're very modular. And so they literally... and that's the problem, is we can't perform the show at the same time. So even tonight, I think you guys start at 8. I can only get on at 8:45 because we've got to get the logs from where they're performing, which we all know is where it is. And then it comes across... Where did you say?
Joburg Theatre.
The Joburg Theatre, the magnificent Joburg Theatre. And then I have to get the logs because the clearing, They clear the set and then I take it, because the secret actually, the secret is you have to finish the play at my I think
the logistics are a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. Sometimes they bring the wrong logs. Sometimes he arrives and we've just got an actor. Then I've got to pretend he's the log. It's not worked out well up to now, but we're getting better at it. And this kind of interactive theatre is the way forward. It's gaming for the modern generation.
I've got the logs in the car. Must give them to you afterwards. Yeah.
Thank you. I'll just take them straight from here then. That is perfect.
Sure, guys. I'm
plays
stumped.
Your mother?
My mother is played by Avril Cameron.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and she's somebody that Brad and I have known and worked with before. So yeah, she could very well be our mother.
And is this a play that was is scripted, or you guys created it?
It's scripted. It was originally done off Broadway.
Okay. Yeah. Amazing. It does sound intriguing. You do want to find out what happened or didn't happen, or where the logs are. Exactly. Yeah. What is the secret of the clearing?
And how many logs were on that stage, and how many logs are
yours? On my stage, yeah. Well, seven on my stage, but I've given that away almost. I always do. I don't keep that.
Was that the secret?
That's not the secret. Oh, no. You're going to have to work a little harder to work out my
seven
secret.
Brides for seven logs.
Exactly.
Oh, well, guys, welcome to the magic of the Unview.
Thank you.
The clearing narrated by Alan Committee with Jonathan Rocksmith singing
in the background.
It's the clearing like we've never seen it before.
So. Exactly.
Guys, the show opens this evening and then it runs until Sunday. And of course, I hope that it's people get to see it. It's a good piece, and it's nice to see, when I say relatively new, newcomers take to the stage and do this. Did you study acting?
No. I
studied PlayStation.
I'm actually a lawyer.
Are you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So I've gone into something that pays now.
Wow, that's way better than PlayStation.
Okay, brilliant. And leaving the legal well,
no, I still work.
Crossing in between.
Well, in between, it's tough, but I'm enjoying it. I really enjoy being on
stage. A lot of lawyers are actors, and vice versa. Hey, don't you find that?
No,
I'm not sure that.
I've never heard of
that. I think you just
true.
Made that statement.
No, we spoke to someone last week. The week before last.
Whom?
Someone who was a lawyer, and I said, "Wow, okay, that's interesting, because you're basically acting, you know, in front of the jury." Well, they usually think.
Oh,
it's
I was
like
away.
That.
I was in Cape Town.
Yeah, don't do the show very often. So they were saying how they had the idea that being a lawyer was kind of acting in front of a jury and like telling the story in a certain way. And then when you study law, you realize it's not that.
What kind of lawyer are you, sir?
Commercial.
Commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least the contract is there in play.
So
whatever you do, Alan, do not lose a log.
Yes,
there's a contract between the two stages.
Contractually, we're very, very.
Alan, last time,
please
Alan
sign here, Alan.
Sign here.
Last time Alan was sued, he almost dropped a log.
Wow! Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah. Very, very good.
Very punny.
Thank you.
Really unnecessary, but thank you for that one. All right, so you're a lawyer, and so this is. How did the spark begin, or have you acted before? Have you done community theatre?
Yeah, I've done community. Darren and I have actually done community theatre together, and then I studied at a 6-month course here in Joburg, and after that I've done sort of a couple of commercials, and that's where the bug bit.
Okay, that's really cool.
It's just been fantastic.
Okay, that's excellent. And Darren, your job, what did you study? Or?
I actually studied through Vega initially.
Okay.
And then, as Brad was saying, we did an intensive 6-month acting and drama course. And then from there, hopefully just going from strength to strength, doing our own stuff, going for auditions.
Well, guys, it's been a pleasure having you. And
so
I look forward to seeing your work. I'm going to try to get to see it over the weekend.
Yeah, please.
It's going to freak me out. I can't stand woody things. And I don't know. Now I've got to deal with
it. I thought you loved wood.
I love wood, but that's a whole other thing. How rude. I'm talking about flog fires. But I mean, you've got to take it to another level. But guys, I want to tell everyone to go and see it. It's The Fringe at the Joburg Theatre. It opens tonight. It's called The Clearing. And I want to thank Brad Novico and Darren Meltz for joining us in studio. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much.
Fantastic.
Have
thank
a
you.
Great run.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
We'd love to see new people getting out there and doing some great things.
Yeah, it's nice because we keep having the same old faces in here. Like week after week.
Yeah, what are you talking
I mean,
about?
We've had Jonathan Rocksmith on the phone twice. We really need to get him in studio.
I've had him in studio.
Oh. See, same old faces.
Remember, I only brought you on this year. I've done this for a while.
Oh, right, yeah.
You're the newcomer.
Yeah, sorry.
Unlike someone like Alan Committee, who's like an old face.
I'll just sit here quietly. When you're ready, I'll just...
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, here we go. Finally, for heaven's
sake. Now, hold on. So,
all right.
So,
is this it? Is this right, the big intro?
But we actually have an intro for you.
Okay. All right. I'm sitting quietly.
But we have to prep you for it.
Now, okay.
Now, there is a song, because this show
I'm not
is,
singing.
This is a very... That you can actually...
You just have to read.
You have all to right. read, and then we'll just do the rest.
Okay.
Okay. And the thing is that Nathan felt quite overwhelmed.
Right.
If you think about Nathan's real name, is we've had two Jonathans and two Alans on the show. Because you're Jonathan Rowe. Okay. Jonathan
sort of.
Ross.
Yeah.
That's his real name.
Just about.
So he's a Jonathan and Jonathan. We've got two Alans.
Yes.
So we've got two Alans and two Jonathans.
Right.
Which is great. But
I'm
then
now out Alan.
But now he's out Alan because we're here. So we thought we'd ask you to do something for us, which we
Well, sorry, just going back to what you were speaking about earlier about Alan used to be in with the Lebs, now he's out of favor with the Lebs. Do you ever consider protection? Do you need protection?
Is that something that you offer? Is that
it is. Alan and I both offer it to celebrities across the board. We also
protection
offer marketing.
Services?
Yes.
This is extraordinary.
Yeah. And on that note,
this is something.
Go on.
Won't you please introduce yourself by reading these words?
All right. I'll just read all them right. And then you'll play underneath. Yes. Is that right?
Yeah. All right.
All right. Where do we start? A man walks down
no,
the
no,
street.
It must
oh, sorry. You okay. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot at redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away my well-lit door. Mr. Beer belly, get these mutts away from me. You know I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my I can be your long lost pal. Let me tell you something, and I do mean this. I really do. I can call you Betty. And Betty, when you call me, you can call me L.
Yeah.
Yes.
Call me L.
Call me L.
We're going to.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
Thank you. It really was.
I just
it was like David Attenborough's first album.
Yes.
Amazing. I love
yes.
it.
Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
Right, well, that's been lovely. Thanks very much. Yes. I'll see you all again next time. Bye-bye.
I think we got everything in there.
I think, yeah, that's what she said. Right, now.
The beer bellies, the dogs.
I didn't. When you read the lyrics, of course,
they don't make
speak
any
to,
sense.
No, at whatsoever.
No.
What was Paul Simon doing?
Well,
well he was
a lot of people
Chevy
have
Chase.
Asked that over the years. Yeah. What has he been doing? I'm a fan. That was a huge song. When are you an 80s baby like me? I
yes.
guess.
We're,
that was kind of big in kind of mid-80s, wasn't it?
Well, we have no other song that really links
certainly
to
not
us.
For us, not for the L's.
No, no L's or N's.
Well, there is Love with a Little L.
Ah, that's I like your thinking
yeah,
around
but the
that,
L is for the L for yeah. love. It's not for a little
No,
L.
but I like his thinking. I think that's
yeah.
coming in
think,
from...
Like saying L is for the way you look at me. I mean, that's, you can't say that.
Well, this you is, can.
If you
L.
can.
L is for the way you... You're
do
looking
you
at
love a little song, hey? You don't yes, mind no. any well, opportunity to get a...
You see, but he's...
We're musical.
But he's a phenomenal... So, I mean, Swing City...
Right.
Top producer. They've, you know, they're at the moment going all over the country with their Christmas, their new album. Just got
also,
released.
Alan kind of forces me to sing. He's like, hey, pull out your ukulele and sing
right.
a song.
And he has ukulele, so he yeah, brings...
Usually when he has to go put out a fire...
I saw the picture up there. So, I mean, there you are bandishing... kind of weapons.
I can't play yes. though. It's just fantastic. I'm holding a bigger thing just to cover my stomach.
Your guitar is way bigger than mine.
No, it's not the size of this guitar. It's how you use your G-string.
Yes.
Yeah. Alan, Laughing Matters, the
yes.
new stand-up show. Firstly, brilliant that it's come to Johannesburg
yes.
because you did this at the end of last year in Cape Town.
So essentially what I try and do is a new stand-up show every 12 to 14 months. And the way we normally work it is as I started either in Cape Town or Joburg, it then immediately follows and goes to the other city. But because of what can only be described as date clashes and insurmountable disagreements about programming, we couldn't do it straight after one another. So we did the show in December in Cape Town, and for the first time in many years, we didn't do it immediately in Joburg. So it's kind of posed a strangeness to me because now I'm bringing you Laughing Matters almost 10 months after the show was initially performed, which means some of the material is dated a little bit. I've had to revisit it, but it's been quite a nice little process because it means now I can take a fresh look at the material and I've added one or two new little bits. But equally, I've got to tell you, I'm writing my new year end show, which starts in Cape Town and comes to Joburg early next year. So I'm kind of in this little quandary of keeping this show alive and loving the performance of it. We started last night and it was fun to kind of play to a crowd, but also having to prep some new material and writing another show. So I'm trying not to be too bipolar about it.
It sounds like you're doing your tax. It's like you're working on 2018 while collecting slips
that
for 2016.
That is exactly. Yeah. In fact, I think I'm doing my tax as I'm writing these shows
cheapest.
As well.
Wow.
But that is funny matters. I mean, if you look at some of them, I mean, let's leave tax now.
So Joburg audiences now can enjoy the dose of the favorite funny man, Alan Committee, a brand new show coming to, as I said, in Johannesburg. You sold out to Cape Town. And of course, it's high energy, it's madcap antics and crazy mania, and everything from Tom Bone of the Trump.
What?
That's what I'm reading here.
Oh, I don't know who might have written that, though. Okay. Anyone could have
written. Trombone of
is
the
it not
Trump?
Trombone?
No,
from trombones to trumpets, is it? I don't know. I don't know because that don't appear in my show, so that's very weird. Let me tell you what it is. I'll tell you exactly what it is.
I'm reading your thing.
No, don't read it. Leave it alone. I'll tell you exactly.
Written by Alan Committee and directed by Christopher Weir.
Now, bless him. Christopher Weir and I have done 17 shows together over the years. So, yeah, in many ways, this is in the style of all my previous stand-up shows in that it's not just a straight man behind a microphone in a follow spot. For me, that kind of comedy, brilliant though it might be, often belongs in a kind of club scenario or in a in the comedy circuit. What we're offering here is a theatre experience, and so we're asking people if they're going to pay a little bit more, they want a bit of production value. So we've got the full set, we've got some sketches, we've got some characters involved, and in between all of the stand-up, it's kind of, I hope, elevated to something a little bit more. There's a kind of narrative to the show. So Laughing Matters very simply tells us that laughing does matter in this mad world that we live in, but also that we're covering all kinds of laughing matters. And everything from the kind of big world, mad, crazy stuff from Trump and our own political kind of scenarios to the craziness of Theresa May and a possible world annihilation because of nuclear war. Welcome to Thursday. In between all of that, the real drama, which is how do we get into skinny jeans and why do we have to wear them? And so that gamut is covered. And I wasn't expecting to use the word gamut, but then we've got a lawyer here. And it's from the Latin, gamateo, gamatere, gamatui, gamatitus, which is the pluperfect generative. But then I suppose everyone knew
I'm
that.
So happy we have a lawyer here. Brad's the studio.
Exactly. You're on.
But again, it is a crazy, wonderful world. And if you're not laughing, then you're going to be crying.
You know, I have a very...
And it's funny.
It is funny. Things are funny. You've got to be careful. I think we've become quite sensitive. If you've been following Twitter over the last couple of days and indeed social media for the last while, I think people have got hypersensitive about all kinds of stuff. And probably rightfully so. We're in a strange age now where people are starting to... They're wanting to empower themselves, take back power in all kinds of areas, from gender to race to age. Everyone wants to fight for their space, and rightly so. But sometimes what happens, and this is where it gets quite tricky, is that we go the other way, and it becomes this kind of overt political correctness. And I suppose this station is one of those that bulks against that and fights against that. Because I think we still live in a world where it's possible to be respectful of other people, but to have a good laugh and to see things with a unique or interesting perspective. And that's what this show, in a weird way, without kind of lecturing an audience, is also doing. It's saying, we've got to laugh at this stuff. We've got to be able to take a step aside and look at stuff from a different perspective. Otherwise, we're going to be in big trouble.
Now, one of my favorite characters that performed on television for quite some time, performed with Mansfield back in the day.
Correct.
Returns to the stage.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you about his sister in a moment, Johannes.
Sure.
Was it Johanna?
Johanna
Askiset.
Jacomina Jakuba van der Walt.
But Johan van der Walt, the security guard of note, has joined you on stage.
He's been absent for a while.
He was protecting the logs from the clearing.
Now, this is his work. Listen, he's all things to all people and no things to some people.
Correct.
But he's a very special creature. He's a great friend of mine. I'm thrilled that he's back on the stage. He comes to this particular show with an agenda, as he always does, and he's talking about environment, but particularly about water shortages. We know back in Cape Town this is a real issue. It has been an issue in Joburg literally a year ago. Can we believe a year ago we were saying we have no water and suddenly it all changed? Let's hope the same happens for Cape Town.
But and doesn't happen to Joburg.
It doesn't happen to Joburg. Who knows what's... But Van der Walt comes with some strong water stringent recommendations, some of which might even be true, a lot of which is made up. And as always, he comes forth with a lot of enthusiasm and chutzpah.
I said this to Nathan last week because the water issue in Cape Town is a major problem. I can't even. I have a timer. I mean, I literally set my timer for
correct.
Two. Okay, I'm 2.5 minutes. Okay, I can't.
Right, lie. And showering
because I'm slightly big. I need more water to get around this stuff.
Right,
but.
I'm sorry, I didn't. Right, I see what you're saying. I'll tell you how bad things are in Cape Town. I saw recently a guy in a convertible while it was raining. He kept the roof down just so he could collect grey water for his garden. Now, that's where we're at in Cape Town.
But it's true. There is a bucket in the shower.
Right.
Okay. And I'm collecting grey water. It's seriously the thing. And I'm using the grey water because and putting it in the toilet. It's kind of crazy what you're doing.
Yeah.
But you have to do it.
You have to do it.
We have a problem. And then, of course, as you know, as I mentioned earlier, I will be going to Cape Town on family trips and taking people up Table Mountain every single day for the next
three months.
Because obviously we were hoping for sunshine.
Sure.
And it's not happening. So it's kind of, that's why, clearly.
I hear you.
Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
But again, it's a very big problem, and I want to just highlight it because it's nice to raise a flag that, keep in mind, it was just mentioned this week on the news that we might go, if we don't get more rains in Johannesburg by January, when they're expecting big rains, January and February, we'll have to go to level 2 in Joburg.
Right.
Because the dams are only sitting about 75% or close to 80%.
Right.
So we've got to watch it again. But that's all because of our populace is so big. But Cape Town's got major, major problems. So what are the things that security guard Van der Walt recommend, for example?
Well, for example, I mean, he obviously thinks out of the box. I think this is the genius of the man. So, for example, he would suggest that the human body, as we all know, is made up of 70% water. That is why at graveyards you see so many flowers growing because there's so much water in the ground. So one of the recommendations is move closer to a cemetery. Don't stay so far away. Now, you see, for me, that's genius. I think that's a brilliant idea. It's a pleasure. I try and help where I can.
Death seems to be coming.
No, it's a full circle. You know what I mean? It's not just your grand. It's also about us. You know what I mean? So, and that's. I wish you long life. But I'm just saying it's a fun time for. So Van der Walt does that. I talk about for the first time in a long time because I'm not. If you've seen my shows before, I'm not really an overtly political comic in the way that, for example, a Nick Rabb or a Peter Dirk Ace might tackle South African and international politics head on. But I do think all our stuff is kind of coloured by politics. Obviously, that is the nature of our life, and particularly in this country. So in this show, I do as an overview talk a little bit about where we're at, not just here, but also because I think the world's weird now. People are nationalising and going insular. You know, we used to have a global village. Now everyone's building walls and Brexiting and xenophobicing, and we're just staying and building clearings and staying. Do you know what I mean? And it strikes me that no one wants to interact with anyone anymore.
Mm.
And so, my show is set in a lunatic asylum. But I'm saying not only is the world a madhouse, but I think we build our own little madhouses and keep people out. You know, people from Blairgowrie, for example, who are very dangerous. They should be separated from others. But that's a different story, and it's not for the show. Oh, you're still here? I didn't realize. I thought you'd gone.
Now, Alan, have you seen Trevor Noah's new show that he did on Broadway?
Is it on the Netflix one? I haven't actually. It's on my list. I'd love to get around.
Have a look at it because it's so interesting because he does the skit between a British colonial soldier and an Indian peasant man.
Right.
And when he says, you know, the great British Empire, and it's brilliant because he says things like, for example, we have one God. And he says, well, which God must I pray to? And, no, but there's only one God. Well, no wonder you can't get anything right. You're not playing to the right God.
Exactly.
But he talks about this exact thing, is that Britain has got no right to talk about becoming insular.
Right.
Or because they went and colonized the world, told everyone how great they were
the
as
great
Great
Empire.
Britain, Great Empire. And then when everybody went to go see how great they were, they want to kick them out.
That's right.
The world has changed completely. And that is the thing, is that we're starting to... The Mexicans must stick to Mexico.
Yes.
So who's getting lost in South Africa? That is the question.
Well, I suppose that is the question. I mean, I think the incredible thing about this country, I've traveled in the last 15 months quite a lot, and I did some work in the States, in Los Angeles, one or two clubs in New York, but fairly extensively in London. Now, London strikes me as quite an interesting place because it's so cosmopolitan and they welcome foreigners and all kinds of points of view and certainly all kinds of senses of humor. A South African comic talking there is not a surprise to them. They have 1,800 South Africans living in the one flat in Putney. So this is not a surprise to them. But it strikes me that we do have, when I go and I look at those English comics, and they're brilliant. Forget the great comics that we see on television or on, that are celebrated around the world. Just the kind of middling comics that just work the clubs. They're brilliant. But what they do struggle with is, and I see it with our South African comics, our sense of humor is, and particularly in talking about a range of subjects, not just kind of specific stuff central to us, is that we have very comedy literate audiences, and our comedians are very well versed in dealing with super sensitive subjects because of our country and the melting pot and all the cultures and all the references. We've grown up with it. We happily run through that mild minefield of dangerous possibilities, and I think that makes us pretty good in terms of we're battle-weary comics when we go out into the world there.
Interesting, though, I've picked up South African comedy doesn't play the sex card too much.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Which is, you're not which is good. Yeah.
Nothing funny about sex.
No, but...
well, that's...
Well, yeah. It depends with you. I don't know. I will talk to your girlfriend.
So, how rude.
yeah, a death and your sex life. It ain't... It's not your death.
But a ukulele. Never forget the ukulele.
You see, he didn't bring the ukulele. If he had, we would be...
You would have forced me to play it.
Of course. We would have made you sing something. Again, would we don't need below the belt... Humor. We don't need.
No.
And I don't find we.
Well, listen, some of the comics. Different strokes for different folks. And I think there's a range of comics. And, there are comics who go out and want to shock. There are comics that want to. I put myself very much as a kind of family entertainer. I play very clean. My aim is kind of business orientated, if you will. I want you to bring your grandparents and your grandchildren to the show. And we'll play across the board. I still think there's a great comedy. Hotspot that we can find, even with that range of
without
audiences.
Using the F words and the profanities.
But I also have no problems. I still laugh at comics who are particularly kind of who play blue and who are quite rude. That it just doesn't mean I have to play that way. Do you know what I mean? I think you can allow for all that range.
But I think it's interesting to see in South Africa. You don't. It's not the order of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there.
It is
but
there.
It
depends. I suppose in theatres, it's a harder place to get away with it because ultimately then you're not going to fill the houses if you do. Do you know what I mean? So maybe at a comedy club like a Goliath and Goliath, there you're going to have a range of comics and the guys are going to come out with some attitude and hoy a little bit. From the Latin, hoyeo, hoyere, hoyui, which is also Lebanese. A lot of people don't know.
Do you like Lebanese people?
I've not met enough. If you are a representative of what the Lebanese people are like, then I will tell you that we're in for a good... This is magnificent. You are a fine ambassador. And if we were in some kind of cabinet, I would reshuffle you and put you in a far more important position.
Now, on this note, you wanted to talk about... Please.
Go on. This is important. What are we doing?
Oh, no. I just wanted to play that little clip about our government.
Oh, okay.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Yes.
Like a song for the nation at the moment.
Anyway, but it speaks to a kind of... I talk about this in the show because everywhere around the world, people have been thrown by the unexpected. So in America, they couldn't believe Trump was voted, even though they were party to voting him in. In England, Brexit threw the Londoners. They couldn't believe the nation had voted for Brexit. In Australia, they can't believe that their rugby and cricket sides are no longer the world champions. So, they're going, what is the point of Australia? Something we've been asking for many years now. And I think that means that South Africa... People are now looking to our country for leadership. No, but they are, because it strikes me that we are resilient people. We are not thrown by the unexpected. We live with it. Am I right? Nothing throws us. Every day for the last 100 years, new information is given to us. Like yesterday, they're just reshuffling the cabinet. And we go, what the... And then we get on with it. We even have a verb. I talk about this in the show. We MacGyver the situation. Because in America, MacGyver was an entertainment show. But in South Africa, we thought it was a documentary.
Isn't it a Yiddish word?
MacGyver, yeah. It's actually, it is Latin. It's funny, Magaveo, Magavere, Magenbean. Is that advertising? I think we get money for that, don't we?
No.
Don't we?
No.
They just get free exposure.
But well, in that case, I withdraw it immediately.
Alan, your life in comedy has been decades now.
This is my 20th year in stand-up comedy alone.
And how did? Were you a funny kid? Were you a funny guy?
That's for other people to say. I will say I did like making people laugh, and I think there's a slight distinction there. So,
class clown?
But also, but equally, I loved school, and I was quite good at the school. I was the ducks pupil and the head boy, and all of that stuff. Yeah, so it's kind of weird. But I did love. I played in all the school productions and played the kind of class clown a little bit as well. I always knew I wanted to do comedy in some form, and then I studied as an actor at UCT. And even at that point, when I was kind of pushed into more serious productions, which I loved, at the back of my mind, it was always the idea to kind of do some kind of comedy, not necessarily stand-up comedy. And so my first ever show was a one-man Richard III, which I kind of took the Shakespeare text and rewrote it because no one was going to cast me. still no one will cast me. That's why I have to do all my own work. having played Richard III, I played kind of 37 characters. And out of that, I kind of started developing a bit of a stand-up, a taste for stand-up, because I had to kind of improvise with audiences. My first show ever at Grahamstown, I was in a venue where the entrance to the theatre was behind me on the stage, so people had to cross across the stage to get to their seats. So if they arrived late, and that happened on my first show, a group of 7 or 8 people, I had to deal with it. I couldn't pretend it wasn't happening. And in that dialogue, it got some of the biggest laughs in the show. And I remember sitting afterwards thinking, well, I've worked really hard at scripting and rehearsing all of these bits, and the biggest laugh came from talking to them directly. I'm going to keep that. So I used to encourage the door people to always let latecomers in, and I do this to today anyway. I love chatting to people on from the stage, because I think if you're prepared to engage in that possibility, in that live frisson, if you will, then something interesting can happen. And it makes the stand-up experience different every night. Audiences want to know that you've prepared something, that you've got a structure, and obviously that's part of the gig, and then equally that every night can be slightly different.
So So that's how it began, and then all of a sudden it's just 20 years of an incredible career. Well, because the career has got different levels to it, because you've had a stint in television.
Sure.
You've obviously your stand-up, you've been in other productions, but then the corporate work is huge.
Yes.
Because that's where...
That's kind of bread and butter stuff in some way, and I do a lot of MC work, and that's from kind of straight MC to MC with comedic interludes, if you will, facilitating... in this country particularly, I think you go overseas, you kind of pigeonholed into one area, whether you can do others or not. People say, well, you're a voiceover artist or you're a stand-up comedian, and that's what you are. I think one of the thrills about playing in this country is that you can, if you're good enough and you're prepared to work hard enough, that you can be in multiple fields. And so that's obviously been a pleasure. And then equally, I've kind of started producing theatre. I directed Play That Goes Wrong, that's just had an amazing run, and had a return season now in Joburg and is off to Cape Town.
We had them on the show.
Great. Oh, did you? Oh, fantastic. Good. I like to have many. I can't concentrate on one thing for too long. It's essentially what I'm saying.
The thing is,
I'm you're more than one person in one person.
That is exactly what I am. And that was my secret. Now you've just outed me just there.
Whole committee of people.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. I didn't want to say it, but you said it.
Clever name.
And then, you can call me Al. I'll be your bodyguard.
Laughing matters then is in an institution, hence for a schizophrenic. So
you see, full circle. Circle of life.
And then, of course, we're waiting for the logs.
Yeah, the logs are there, burning, kindling the fire of hope.
From the clearing.
From the clearing.
Jane over there is keeping quite a log of this episode, I'm sure.
Of course you can always listen to the podcast. Alan, then we look at your 20-year career. Who was your inspiration? Who is your inspiration? And who has become your inspiration? So looking back.
Yeah. So my role model when I started was any of the theatre comics. And probably the biggest influence on me was Mark Banks.
Yes.
Absolutely. And growing up, Mark was the guy who didn't play the comedy clubs. He played all the theatres. He used to do these 3 or 4 month long runs in Cape Town at the Baxter. And he was an institution. And he would do much like I try and do now, which is not just straight stand-up, but character. And a real experience for the audience. But equally, Casper de Vries, who's on the station, who's one of my great heroes. Barry Hilton, when he started, was very much in the theatre scene. So those were the kind of guys who inspired me. Overseas, it was guys who didn't kind of do, as much as I can laugh at a good stand-up comic who just stands and talks about subjects. It was the guys who were a bit off kilter. So there's a British comic called Stuart Lee, who's kind of considered the comedian's comedian. If you haven't listened to him, you've got to Google him. He's genius. And he takes comedy to a new level. And then Rob Brydon, who's more of a comic actor. He's the guy who he's the host of a show called Would I Lie to You? On DSTV, and he does an amazing series of TV shows. So those are the guys that kind of inspired me. But a range. Ricky Gervais, I saw him live last week in London. It was amazing to see him live, but I've always been a big fan of his writing. In America, the obvious big comics like Louis C.K., who are able to combine real heavy subjects, bathos, and comedy, and do it in a way that you're laughing while you're thinking. I think that's sometimes a great skill and a great pleasure to
be. And to be able to move quickly, that you can, that people are laughing and still laughing about what was
absolutely
said.
And you've always got to be a couple of steps ahead of your audience, I think, for the most part, unless you're deliberately letting them get ahead.
Because sometimes I find comics sometimes are holding or waiting for the laugh.
Right.
When you actually are, you shouldn't be playing off the laugh necessarily.
No, necessarily. You're quite right.
Because a lot of, I mean, you get it because you're like, oh, they didn't get that.
Right.
Well, maybe, okay, get on with it.
It's also fascinating, as much as an audience is experiencing a different show every night, I come out, those first 2 or 3 minutes of every 90-minute show is about quickly sussing out what this crowd's going to be about. At Monty, you get a range. So sometimes you get a very Afrikaans crowd who've come in from Littleton and Centurion or the Rands. Sometimes you get a very northern suburbs crowd. Sometimes they're super quick. Sometimes they're quite young. Sometimes it's a Sunday matinee and they're very old and a lot of them are facing the wrong way. And we've just got to gently coax them back to where you are. And so those, you pick
and
up
how do they take to the living closer to the cemetery?
They love that because they know it's that's true. That's, yeah.
Because they know they're about to get more water.
Exactly.
They're going to start giving back to the earth. Okay. Which basically, we should have more old age homes in Cape Town.
You see, you're writing so the stuff for me now. I'm going to be using this tonight.
Okay, so that's magic. And then through the 20 years now, you look at today, and who are you loving? Who are you enjoying watching and both here and abroad?
Well, I,
for example, think Michael McIntyre is incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible. And his output of work is extraordinary. He does, at least one new show every year. I like watching a range. I suppose once you've been doing it for a number of years, and I was always told, in fact, Mark Banks said this to me many years ago, as did a number of other performers, is that it'll be harder to watch people who do what you do. And when you start, you're open and you're wide-eyed and you soak in everything. If I'm honest, if I have an opportunity on a night off, I don't necessarily want to go and watch stand-up comedy. I'd rather go and watch Evita. I'd rather go and watch The Clearing, where it's not necessarily in the heart of my field, but you can learn stuff from. I'm a huge proponent of going to watch live theatre, and by theatre I mean anything from musics to ballet to opera because there will be something out of that experience that you will take with you. I always get irritated when people go, "Oh, well, I would have gone to theatre, but I saw something was really bad." When you watch a crap film, you don't stop watching movies. We've all seen a number of awful movies in our life, but we somehow still go back. And I think even more so with theatre, you can see something that's not great and still take something from it, even if it's just a good story about how awful it was. But when it's great, when it really moves you in a particular way, whether it's moving you to tears or to laughter or both, I think that's soul enriching. I think you come out of that and you go, my life is better because of that.
And the live experience, nothing beats
nothing
the live
beats it. Nothing beats experience. It.
So, for example, even if you are watching comedy on television,
right,
and you're laughing,
it's harder to laugh on your own in a room or with a partner.
I know. I feel quite weird that you end up laughing at yourself,
right?
And you think, if someone can hear me,
laughter is meant to be a communal experience.
It sounds weird, but you're hysterically laughing. You think, I hope I didn't wake up someone in the other room.
And why it becomes healing, it's quite interesting because, and maybe we're being a bit wanky about this, but when you're even in a show like this, which is essentially just stand up and a bit of silliness and a man talking crap, but if something hits you and you relate to it, or you suddenly go, oh, I've always thought that but never been able to articulate that, or oh, he's provided a new perspective on something I hadn't thought of. In that moment, you go, but I'm not laughing alone. There's 207 other people laughing at this. You immediately forge a community with. You're not isolated, and I think that's the spirit of and the power of theatre, and it's why I like doing my stand up in a theatre particularly, because I think that there's something quite special and sacred about that. It's like a clearing. The clearing is a sacred space too.
Oh, the clearing.
Am I pumping your shows enough, guys? How are we going? 8 o'clock, Joburg Theatre, The Clearing. Magnificent.
Look at this. The stars boys.
John Rachnichnoch, the Russian lawyer, and Brad Giebels, the conceptual writer. May not have got the names right, but these are young guys who are forging their way forward. And it's just magnificent. It's one of my favorite pieces of theatre of 2017. I haven't seen it, but oh my goodness. In Act 2, Scene 7, that scene with the rhino was incredible. I actually had to sit upside down to make sense of it. Also, laughing matters, by the way, just in case you were wondering.
We're going to get there.
Oh, are we? Okay.
We are going to. So, what makes you laugh?
I think I've got quite a wide-ranging sense of humor. I laugh at everything from Woody Allen's kind of angsty, fetchy New York stuff to very broad physical stuff. I'm a huge fan, and it's one of the reasons why I was very happy with Play That Goes Wrong, of the silent comedians and the physical and visual comedians, and not just from the kind of like Buster Keatons and Charlie Chaplins, but the kind of modern guys. Lee Evans, you must know Lee Evans, the British guy, who's all about physicality. Norman Wisdom, John Cleese. So I'd like to think that everything, if it's clever and it's well executed, I think I would laugh. It's always tricky watching it and you're doing these secret signals and I'm thinking, is it me? What am I doing?
Oh, no, it's radio. No, it's radio. You can't do it on TV. Radio. Hi. The radio, you can and, come in, get ready.
Yes. Get ready, start by, stand by, Alex 7. so it's, I think I laugh at quite a lot of stuff and I laugh fairly easily, I think.
Your advice to people that want to get into the business. Now,
right.
We've got two young people.
Ah, is this true?
Okay. Yeah, we've got both Darren and we've got Brad here in studio from The Clearing.
As well as Jan and Michael.
Yeah, they're all here. Do you want to be a stand-up something that interests you?
Well, theatre in the industry.
Right.
I'm not sure exactly where I want to go here, but...
So my advice to stand-up comedians has always been the same, and it's such a simple thing, and it's the hardest thing. You've got to do it. And I know that sounds like, well, yeah, but obviously... No, it isn't obvious, because the guys who tell me I'm funny around a briar, or all my friends tell me I'm funny, how do I do it? Do it. You've got to do it once at least in front of a crowd, not around a braai, and you will know within 45 seconds whether you're good or not. That you might not ascertain immediately, but you will know in your heart of hearts whether this is something you'll want to keep doing or whether this is better for around the braai. And if it's something that you want to keep doing, then you will sustain through the many bad sets you're going to do. Sets, not sex. You might have bad sex as well, to be fair. I can't guarantee you're not. But you're going to be able to sustain through those initial tough years. Because for me, the golden rule is it takes 4.5 to 5 years for a comic to find his voice or her voice. And those are tough times, but they're also incredibly exciting times. In terms of becoming an actor, sorry, I'm going to quickly finish here, but it's probably the same thing. You've got to go and get out there and do it. It's great that you're out there. Working in front of an audience is where you're going to learn your skills and upskill yourself. You've just got to keep doing it.
And obviously added to that, you know, if you're producing, there are many, many facets.
Sure.
But open up those facets, because you're not, I think it's very hard to survive on one
correct
skill set.
Yes, I think, and that's true not just of South Africa, around the world. Yeah. We're no longer, the theatre world particularly has become harder and harder. You've got to have other skills around you and other, you know, or if you can, if a relative's got money and they can leave it to you. Look, I'm not saying, I know one of us has recently... Have we said long life?
So we've got to wrap the show because Ben's going to come in here.
It is coming to the end now, isn't it? It does feel like we've run out of things to say.
This has been a great show. Allan Committee, you opened last night. Laughing Matters, the new stand-up show. It was in Cape Town. It's in Johannesburg.
At Monte Cassino.
At Monte Cassino, of course, in the small theatre.
No, in the big theatre. Well, it's not the theatre, but the 400-seater,
The Pilaterin Theatre.
From Wednesdays to Saturdays at 8 o'clock. Correct. Saturday's also a 5 o'clock show. Sundays at 3 o'clock. Bookings at CompuTicket or at Monte Cassino. Or find me. Just call me. I'm there for you.
Just
I love you
out.
All.
Yeah, correct. And then, of course, Cape Town, we open up when? I'll have you on the line when we do that.
Yes.
When does that
Planet
open?
Mirth starts in December and we'll come back to Joburg.
It's called what?
A Planet Mirth. A funny look at everything.
Okay.
It's like the documentary, the
Planet Mirth.
Earth. Yeah, Planet Mirth. And so that's at the end of the year on the 6th of December in Cape Town. But we'll talk on the phone. I'll wait for you. I'll sit at the phone now and wait for your call. Are we wrapping this thing up or
we
what?
Have
for heaven's sake, please. We've got to finish now.
The one and only Allan Committee.
Got other radio stations to go to. No, I'm joking. I don't. I'm just here. It's only you. I don't do any other publicity, just this. I actually haven't got anything else to do. I'd like to just stay here and do the next show as well. Who's on next?
We're already into the next show. That's fine. What do you know about sport?
Yes, a lot. Oh my goodness, okay. JP Duerman.
And that was Alan Committee. The show's called Laughing Matters. Don't miss The Clearing with the boys Darren Meltz and Brad Novico. That's happening at The Fringe at the Joburg Theatre. And Jonathan Rucksmith opens tonight with Evita, also happening at Monte Cassino. It is a Theatre World Wing week. Nathan Rowe, big you.
So good. Cheers.
Be well.
Yes.
This is The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. Have a great day.
The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.